God's peace, ours through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Dear friends, do you have a personal mission statement? Do you have a firm grasp of who you are and why you walk this planet? Recently, I spent some time with fellow member Emily Krill, and Emily helped me put me into words. A personal mission statement looks like this. Through faith in God, I am built to be His light, challenging people in their believing, thinking, and living that together we might know true freedom in Christ. Now, where did that mission statement come from? Well, for many years, my personal identity passage has been Galatians 2, verse 20. Precious words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To be like Jesus in the walking of this earth is the calling that we are all called to. But we are called to be Jesus to the world. Exciting, we might think, but in honesty, oh, so difficult as well. Ask yourself the question, who is the most Christ-like person that you know? Do you remember Pastor Bill Bernhardt? Raise your hand if you remember Pastor Bill Bernhardt. Yeah. For the longest time, he was the face of the Wisconsin Synod. He was the face of the Wells Connection video. A friend, I miss him. You see, he's in heaven with Jesus right now, and that's a good thing because he would not like it that I put his picture up on our screens in this way. Because he was a humble man who did not seek out the spotlight. A friend of mine once said, Bill Bernhardt may be the most like Jesus of any man I know. Gentle, loving, soft-spoken, yet not afraid to stand up and speak for his Jesus. Who is the most Christ-like person you know? And then we have to ask, how Christ-like are we in our living, in our thinking, in our speaking, in our texting, in our Googling, in our relationships? Today, Jesus of all people will set the standard, the bar for us, as he shows us what it means to love as he loves, to be him to the world, as he has mercy on a man with leprosy. And inspires us to say, Christ in me changes how I love. We hear the words of Luke 5, 12 through 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The words of our God. Dear friends, what human barriers or obstacles would ever cause you to turn away from someone who needs your compassion? Does a wheelchair or a prosthetic limb give you pause, hesitancy to come closer? If the hospital room is marked quarantine, gown and mask only. Would you pause a bit and think twice about visiting a friend? Could you help raise money for AIDS research and actually talk to people who are HIV positive? If you were one who would actually notice the needle tracks on someone's arm, could you actually talk to the person? Does ethnic background ever give you a reason to pause? Or maybe someone's political party preference off the bumper sticker on their car. Or maybe the food stamps in their hands, or the platinum gold card in their hand and the diamond jewelry on their finger. You know, the disciples once tried to keep a group of people away from the presence of Jesus, people that they thought were too insignificant, children and babies, and oh, did they get an earful from their Jesus. Do we ever turn away from someone because in our eyes they are not significant enough for our attention? This man who fell at Jesus' feet crying out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He did not just have a small case of leprosy and skin disease. The Greek tells us that he was full of leprosy, covered with leprosy. And by God's Old Testament law, designed in part to protect the health of the community, this man should not have been at Jesus' feet. In fact, he was the one who should have been putting up the barriers. Listen to the words of Leviticus 13. "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone outside the camp." But here was this man, and covered with love from outside of this world that knows no discrimination and no fear of human barriers. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Not, "You, Father, do I have to?" No, Jesus did what no one else would have thought to do. With mercy that is cutting edge, he reached out and he touched the man in love with mission-minded purpose, and he said, "I am willing, be clean." Would you ever put one of these signs up in your yard, a first responder sign? "Thank you for your service." Now, I know that many of these signs have gone up in recent years as a political response or statement in our world, but I have to believe that everyone who puts those signs in their yards has a sincere appreciation for those who put themselves in harm's way to protect you and me. First responders tend to be people who are prepared every day to reach across the barriers that scare most of us. The end of a gun barrel, a domestic dispute, flames engulfing an apartment building, the dying and the dead, putting themselves and their own health at risk. 911 for them brings a flurry of activity, the wail of sirens, the flashing of lights, and as they go whizzing by me, I tend to pray something like, "Dear Lord, protect them where they are going. And help them to reach out where I cannot, where I could not, and where in weakness maybe I would not." And then after studying this text, I need to add a prayer. "Lord, remind me that you live in me, that I am built for you. Make me brave like you, O Lord, always ready to reach out and touch in mercy the lives of those in need. May Christ in me change how I love." This past Thursday, I sat with a brother in Christ at Starbucks, a man who has recently visited the Bridge. We were swapping our stories of living with Jesus. And he gave me permission to share his story of God strengthening him to live like Jesus with out-of-this-world mercy. His wife was 50 years old when the first symptoms of dementia came into their lives, dementia that would slowly take her away from him even while she lived. For 16 years, he served his wife in her struggles until God called her home to his side. But in his honest stories, he shared the spiritual struggles that he had to love her the way Christ loved him. He told me this: early on, there was a part of me that wanted to turn away, even from God, and to run from the burden he had placed upon us. But God strengthened me and caused me to turn into him for the vision and the strength and the love to turn to my wife and to serve her with mercy. 7 years at home, 9 years with the help of a care facility. Christ in him changed him and gave him the capacity for Christ-like love that is from outside of this world. And Christ's forgiveness has given him the peace for those moments in those years when he did not love like his Savior. This brother understands the mercy that Solomon describes in Proverbs 3. He writes, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." Reaching out, first responders, it's who we are made to be in Christ. But more amazing than the fact that God has made us in Christ to have no fear of human barriers is the fact that God has given us faith in Christ to have no fear of spiritual barriers in our relationships between others, but primarily between our God and us. The man cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What can we know about this man from what he says and the situation that he's in his life? Well, for starters, he's a desperate man. He has nowhere else to turn. Imagine life on the outside, living on the fringe of your own people. Imagine the expectation and the responsibility to put up the barriers yourself. "I am unclean, stay away." And imagine no hope in this world until one day a man from outside of this world walked into your village. Rumors said that this Jesus of Nazareth might just be the Messiah promised, the one who was to come. Rumors said that he challenged people in their sin, even as he freed them from their diseases. Rumors said that he had a heart for all people, eating with the worst sinner, even as he proclaimed to them the way of God. And so in desperation and in faith, this man broke through the barriers that God had allowed into his life, and he fell at the feet of the one who could make a difference. And he cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What a faith this man had. But a person's faith is only as good as its object. And this man had faith in the very Son of God. Physical isolation from his people was his reality. But isolation from his God spiritually, he knew that was not true. And so he fell at the feet of the Almighty, aware of his sin that God has cast out of the garden, but more aware of his God who had promised to send us a Savior from sin through the offspring of woman. And with that faith, he prayed across the spiritual barrier, addressing the man who had come to make things new. I wonder if the words of Jeremiah 31 were ringing in his ears. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. I will be their God and they will know me. They will know my heart. For I will forgive their wickedness, remembering their sins no more. Jesus had come to make a difference, to tear down the spiritual barrier between God and his people. His life for our sins. Something only God could do. And somehow this man with leprosy knew that, and so he came to Jesus in bold faith, and he asked Jesus to do for him something else that only God could do, to tear down the physical barrier. Lord, you can make me clean. Do you think that this man was in the crowd around the cross when the barrier breaker cried out, "It is finished," and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, indicating to God's people that the way was now open to God? It would not surprise me if the man was there, watching in full faith, because did you notice how he prayed? He said, "Lord, if you are willing." He seemed to understand that the greatest gift of this Messiah was eternal life through faith in him. And so that in his request, he was willing to walk away from the Messiah no matter the answer. Lord, if you are willing. If Jesus had said, "No, today I am not willing. You must remain unclean, but trust me, for I will bless you in other ways." Desperate faith that trusted Jesus completely. No fear. This man had faith to turn to Jesus, because in faith he knew that Jesus had the love to turn to us. Think of Paul's precious words in Romans 5. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ reached across the barrier first and reached out to us. And John writes in his epistle, we love because he first loved us. In Christ, you and I are privileged in faith to reach back to our God in prayer. How well are we doing in living through and reaching through that spiritual barrier? I pray that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and that the way to God is open to you through Jesus Christ. And that if you die today, you are in heaven. Not "I hope so," not "maybe," but "I am in heaven if today I die because of Jesus who died for me." You see, no barrier of sin anymore. Christ now in me. How well are we doing in loving through the spiritual barriers between us and others in this life? Am I able, are you able to reach across any spiritual barrier, bringing Jesus with you? Throughout the month of February, our sermon series will be challenging us in a very practical way, but for today, let us ponder this example. This is obviously a kingdom hall of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you know a coworker, a family friend, or a family member who is a part of the Jehovah's Witness faith? Someone who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the world's Savior from sin. Do members of the Jehovah's Witness faith ever knock on your door? And if they do, what do you do? How big is that spiritual barrier? Does it frighten you? When they knock on your door, have you ever pretended that you are not home? If you see them coming down the street, have you ever pulled the blind? Is that spiritual barrier too big for Jesus? What would Jesus have us do? Well, Jesus would reach across the barrier, wouldn't he? Jesus knew his purpose for walking the planet. He knew his identity in his Father, and he had a vision for everything. how to handle a situation. He would probably walk up to the pair with a smile, shake their hand, and then tell them all about this amazing freedom that the world has in him. No have-tos of God's law to hopefully be saved. Only opportunities to love because we are saved. And he'd probably whisper in our ear if we were there and just say, hey, just tell them who you are. And then Galatians 2, verse 20 works so well. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you briefly explain your Jesus, and the barrier just might come down. All we are asked to do is to reach across and to share. You see, Christ in us, he changes how we love. For Christ is the most like Jesus person I've ever known. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus.